Welcome to the FT Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:25 Pacific Standard Time, and today is January 22nd. And a number of important developments in here today. Starting off in China this morning, the PBOC has been adding liquidity into the market to ease the constraints on the interbank market. Not least as Chinese New Year is coming up next week, and there will be a demand for credit into that. So that's certainly a positive, and the market is reacting well. Also in the background, the questions about whether the China Credit Trust is going to be allowed to default on its high-yield debt. Well, some of that speculation was eased in here today, so that we've seen that there's more than one way to skin a cat, and rather than ICBC having to step in and bail out, what's happened is that because this is primarily linked to coal mining assets, that the company involved has been allocated an additional mining license so that it will have a better chance of coming through with cash flow and in order to meet its own obligations. So there's an easing in terms of that tension as well. And that's also positive. So the stock market in here today was quite a bit firmer, and the best performance in almost 2 months. And not least among the property developers and the banking sector, where those are by far the largest market cap sectors in China. It is probably also worth having a look at the Shenzhen B shares, which is US denominated. U.S. dollar denominated, and generally representative of somewhat smaller companies that are likely to benefit from the growth in the consumer economy. And perhaps one of its most attractive characteristics is that there are no banks listed on that index. And the fact that that index is actually up and testing its all-time highs relative to a number of the larger cap indices that are testing the lows for 2012, 2013, and have, albeit with very attractive multiples down here at this level, it does help to throw into focus the quite different themes that are running within China at the present time. With China's market rallying in here today, then we've had a little bit of relief coming through on some of the ASEAN markets, and that's following through from some rallies that we saw in here yesterday. And in Europe today, the majority of markets there was a pretty mixed performance. Some of the peripheral markets, such as Portugal and Spain, were both down in the region of about 1%, Spain a little bit less than that, Portugal a bit more than that, whereas the majority of other markets were reasonably unchanged, and the FTSE was just down a slight tad, where we see some perhaps more poignant news in the UK is that the unemployment rate was a little bit better, and there is evidence in the short sterling market that people are starting to price in the potential for an interest rate hike at some point this year. The short sterling is now pricing in a yield of 0.9%, and of course the base rate in the UK is about 0.5%. The pound is also worthy of mention. It was perhaps the weakest currency in the world during the credit crisis, and has been in a base formation against a number of the commodity currencies for the last few years. It's already broken out against the South African rand, which is among one of the weakest currencies at present, and hit a new all-time high, or at least a new 20-year high, against the rand in here today. When I came back from Australia, having backpacked there in 2000, I was getting about three Australian dollars to £1, and the Australian dollar hit a peak of $1.50 to the pound in 2010-2011, and having doubled against the pound what we're now seeing is that the fact that commodities have been relatively weak over the last few years has put pressure on a whole range of commodity-related markets where central banks have had to be seen to be do something. And their answer has been to weaken their respective currencies. And the RBA has been really quite firm in its resolve to weaken the Australian dollar. The Canadians are also weakening their dollar. And when one looks at some of the not just developed market commodity currencies, but the ruble or the Brazilian real or even the Mexican peso, what we're starting to see is that where they have been reasonably firm for a number of years, that we're now seeing that that trend has probably changed and that we're going to see considerably more volatility in those commodity-related currencies, and that currencies that were congenitally weak as recently as 2008 and 2009 are starting to look that bit more attractive on a relative basis. So there is potential for a currency like the pound to get quite a bit firmer over the next number of years, albeit that we do have some short-term overbought conditions in here as a result of this massive base breakout, and that the first break in the progression of higher reaction lows is probably going to give way to a somewhat lengthier period of consolidation before we see additional strength for the pound. In the US markets in here today, the Dow was down just a tad, about a quarter of 1%, whereas the S&P was relatively unchanged and the NASDAQ was a bit firmer. And the Brazilian market was up about 1.5%. Perhaps one of the more notable developments in here today was in the natural gas market, which was stronger by 27 cents, and it's up to $4.70. That's the first time we've seen $4.70 on natural gas in a number of years. And of course, that's in response to the extremely cold weather that we're seeing in the northeast of the US at present. When that cold weather eventually gives way, we'll probably see natural gas prices come down a bit. And what also we're going to see is that this higher price, and probably now seeing a floor for natural gas in the region of $4, is going to encourage some additional supply. What it will also do is burnish the allure of coal, with natural gas up approximately a dollar, or about 20-30% in the last 12 months, then its competitive advantage relative to coal is going to be just a little bit less attractive. And coal companies, coal prices are really quite low, and coal companies have been flirting with bankruptcy for the last couple of years. So the potential for some of these resources miners, and not least in the coal sector, to stage some form of recovery in here is looking increasingly likely. Also in the industrial metal complex, because we're seeing that zinc in particular looks like it is forming a first step above its base, and that we've seen a generally firmer tone right across the industrial metal complex over the last number of months, would be generally consistent with an improving attitude that the global economy is back on a growth footing, but also that the supply-demand balance that had resulted in, or I guess the repricing of a lot of these industrial metals following such a surge in supply and the breakdown in the demand growth expectations, has largely been resolved, and we're back in an equilibrium, and that the surprises are likely to be on the upside from here. That should also be of benefit to the industrial metal mining complex. So we're in an interesting environment from a number of perspectives. And when we look at the broader market and in terms of the performance of stock markets, the NASDAQ remains very much a leader. And provided it holds its progression of higher reaction lows, then not a great deal will have happened to challenge the bullish consensus that is out there at present. And nothing will really challenge that until we start to see some form of profit erosion, and there's very little sign of that at present. Against that background, government bond yields are had pulled back over the last couple of weeks and have steadied a little bit in here today. What we can look at in terms of the yield is that the lows are very much in, and that we're probably going to see some additional ranging while the various central banks unwind their massive or their extraordinary monetary policy. Probably the most likely prospect is that we're going to see some additional ranging in government bonds, but that the risks, again, in yields will be to the upside and downside in prices. And I guess Mohammed Alarian probably concluded very much the same thing when he decided to resign from PIMCO, and that was announced in here today. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.